Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them. Thank you for that wonderful singing to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're talking about the songs of Christmas, the great hymns of Christmas. It's Christmas time, let's sing. I heard about a little boy getting close to Christmas. He wrote Jesus a note. He said, "Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year, and I would appreciate a new bicycle. Your friend, Little Johnny." Well, Little Johnny knew that he knew what kind of boy he'd been. And so he ripped up that note, and he decided to give it another try. He said, "Dear Jesus, I've been an okay boy this year, and I want a new bicycle. Yours truly, Little Johnny." Well, Little Johnny knew that this wasn't totally honest, so he tore it up and he tried again. He said, "Dear Jesus, I've thought about being a good boy this year, and can I have a new bicycle? Signed, Little Johnny." Well, Johnny looked deep down in his heart, which is really what his mom was wanting him to do, and think about the way he was living, and he crumpled up that third letter. He threw it in the trash can. He went running outside. Well, there was a Catholic church that was open around the corner. He aimlessly wandered about, depressed because of the way he had treated his parents, and he was really considering his actions, and he found himself in front of that church, and he went inside and he knelt down, looking around, not knowing really what he's supposed to say or do. He finally got up and began to walk out the door, and he was looking at all the statues that were there. All of a sudden, he grabbed one of the small ones, and he ran out the door and went home and hid it under his bed and wrote this letter: "Jesus, I've broken most of the Ten Commandments. I shot spit wads in school, tore up my sister's Barbie doll, and lots more. I'm desperate. I've got your mama. If you ever want to see her again, give me a bike. Signed, you know who." Well, I hope you're not writing letters like that this Christmas, and I hope you're going to get what you need at Christmas. Well, we're talking about the glories of singing and the wonderful fact that we love to sing at Christmas time. Boy, tonight we're going to celebrate that with a Smoky Mountain Christmas concert. I think about the great hymn, "Silent Night, Joy to the World," "The First Noel, O Come All Ye Faithful." Man, how about that "O Holy Night" this morning? I mean, man, I always think I can hit that final note there, brother, but there's no mic on me, I hope. But anyway, I always try to hit that note. But what a great song. You know, we have a singing faith. We're wired to sing about the most important things in our life. I've mentioned this to you, that Edwards, the great theologian, said the best and most beautiful and most perfect way that we have of expressing a sweet concord of mind with each other is through music. Luther said, "Beautiful music is the art of the prophets that can calm the agitations of the soul. It's one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has ever given us." Music. It's Christmas time. Let's sing. "Oh, come, let us," sing it with me, "adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord." Well, these great hymns of Christmas is what we've been studying. Elizabeth had one in Luke chapter 1. Then there was the Song of Mary. Then there was the Song of Zacharias. Today we're talking about the song of the angels. You know, angels announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are intrigued. Angels are intrigued by the relationship that we have with God. You see, we're different. We because of sin, we are alienated from God. The angels are created and they follow the Lord. There's a different relationship there, and they are intrigued by this relationship between God and man. The angels were involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it with Zacharias in chapter 1, verse 11, with Mary in chapter 1, verse 26, and then in our passage today. So we're in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. You follow along your copy of God's Word, and let me read from my copy. This is Luke 2:1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. And here's the song, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There's the song. There's the hymn of the angels. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Angels singing. We've had different ones singing. We're talking about the hymns of Christmas, and here we have the angels. Angels are interested in the relationship between God and the relationship between man. They're interested in salvation. Think about salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He had a purpose for his coming. Not only did he come as the baby in the manger, but he came with a purpose. And that purpose was to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, and to purchase us a place in heaven, which he offers us as a free gift. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read this. You're welcome to write it down, or you can look it up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and following, it says this about the angels. Listen, it says, "Now of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." In other words, in the Old Testament, the prophets, they prophesied about the gospel, about the coming of the Lord, and about how salvation was going to come to the world. It says in verse 11, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." So all these prophets in the Old Testament talking about the coming Messiah. And then it says, to them it was revealed that, not to themselves. In other words, the prophets didn't understand the whole story. But to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. Now we understand what they were talking about in some of these Old Testament prophecies have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And so the prophets prophesied, and now because of the coming of Christ, others are preaching about the gospel. They're preaching about Christ coming, and it's all about salvation. And it says, now we understand it on this side of the New Testament. And then it says this little phrase at the end of that. It says, which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then it says this little phrase, things which angels desire to look into. There's something about salvation. There's a song that Phillips, Craig, and Dean used to do called The Greatest Song of All. Maybe y'all remember that. Some of y'all remember that. It's an oldie. The greatest song of all is the song of the redeemed. In other words, if you've been saved, you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your personal Lord and Savior. You're the only one that can sing the song of the redeemed. The angels cannot sing that. But Peter tells us the angels are just intrigued by salvation. Every time somebody gets saved, they get excited. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. And so the angels are interested in salvation. It's amazing. Now, this morning, Christ is born and angels all show up. What does it say? It says, suddenly, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Look at verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel, there was one angel, but all of a sudden, because of the birth of Christ to these shepherds, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What does it mean, the multitude of the heavenly host? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19, it says this, then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. You know what the heavenly host is? It's all the angels. Do you realize the shepherds, they heard the one angel, fear not. But suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. In other words, imagine those shepherds. Hey, look, just seeing one angel would flip you out. You know? Although, I will say this, there's a place in Scripture that says that sometimes we entertain angels unaware. In other words, you may be talking to somebody someday, and you say, man, that guy, that was interesting. I'd never met him before, and you'll never see him again. Maybe an angel. You never know. But imagine these shepherds on that hillside. They saw that angel, and all of a sudden, the heavens opened, and all the heavenly hosts, the multitude of angels. By the way, the Bible says in Job chapter 38, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, referring to creation, the heavenly hosts sang at creation. All right? What did they say? They said, glory to God in the highest. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not glorifying God to the highest degree. It's not that the angels have the preference on the highest type of praise. No, I think we have the greatest song of all, the song of the redeemed. But what it meant was glory to God in the highest heavens. In other words, a place we can't go. We're not there yet. We're not in heaven. But yet in heaven, glory to God in the highest of heavens, they were singing, all right? And on earth, peace. Now, look at verse 14. And on earth, peace. I think this has become one of my favorite words in the Bible, peace. It is a loaded word, the word peace in the Old Testament and the word peace in the New Testament. The word peace in the Old Testament, the word shalom, peace. It is a pregnant word. It has so much meaning even inside the word itself. The word means to resolve. In music is to resolve. It gets to a high pitch, it gets to a crescendo, and you're waiting for that note to come down and resolve. It's the kind of word for peace. It means to be whole. The world is longing for wholeness. We're looking for what's going to be the answer in our life. We're looking for what's going to make us content. It has with the idea of well-being, the word peace. Peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. The word peace is an idea that means well-being. It means health. It means prosperity. It means security. It means soundness. In other words, you build your life on God's word. You build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have peace, and you knock into it. You hit it and it's tough, it's hard, it's sound. It's like the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand, the New Testament tells us. Don't build your house on the sand, because when the waves come and the winds blow, the house will wash away. You build your house on the rock and you'll have peace. The peace you're longing for is what the angels are singing about. They're saying, glory to God in the highest. Jesus has been born on Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. That word, you could just go on for several sermons just on the word peace. Soundness and completeness. It has to do more with character than it does your circumstances. You know, you can have peace in the midst of a storm. In your life, you can have peace in the midst of circumstances. My pastor growing up did a series on the book of Philippians. Philippians is the book of joy. And you can have joy in spite of circumstances. And he called the series Peace Without Pills. So many people they take pills to settle down. They take pills to calm down because their life is disjointed, their life is in trouble, and they're looking for wholeness, they're looking for peace. So the song, the words of the song have this word peace in it. It's essentially a word for salvation. Matter of fact, the word peace in the Old Testament is synonymous with what we talk about as salvation. And it's synonymous with salvation in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 10, it says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And so peace means salvation. And then it says, goodwill toward men. Look at verse 14. We're going to hone in on verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That phrase, goodwill toward men, could be probably better translated, and it may be in your version something like this, toward the recipients of his favor. In other words, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Is everybody experienced the peace of God? No. The ones who experience the peace of God are those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Oh, friend today, oh, friend watching us online today, listen, Christmas is wonderful. It is such an awesome time, but don't miss the meaning of Christmas. The meaning of Christmas is to get the God of heaven into your life and for you to be saved. It's the only way you're going to find the peace that you're looking for. And so it says, peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests, all right? So it's a picture of God's grace coming upon those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Michael Bublé, that guy that's got an incredible voice, he sings a song I think Amy Grant sings it too, but he's the one that I first heard sing it. He sings a song about a grown-up Christmas list. You may not know the song, but he sings this song, and he says, this is my grown-up Christmas list. He says, do you remember me? He's singing this. Do you remember me? I sat upon your knees, a grown man. And he's saying, do you remember when I sat on your knee as a kid? I wrote to you with childhood fantasies. Well, I'm all grown up now. Can you still help somehow? I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream. The longing of mankind. This is what this song's all about. It's about the longing of mankind for peace. Here's the words. He says, so here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list. Not for myself, but for a world in need. Then he says, no more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts. I think about hearts that need to be healed in our world, emotional health, forgiveness in relationships. And then he says that every man would have a friend. Man, I wish I could sing like him. I'd try to sing it for you. Every man would have a friend that right would always win. That's justice. Don't you long for justice? Don't you long that those that have done wrong, that have willfully done wrong, would receive the justice? You know what many psalms are about? David wrote, David said, Lord, it looks like my enemies are winning. And sometimes for us as believers in the church age, it looks like the enemies of God are the ones thriving, and the people who follow Christ are not. And he says that right would always win, and love would never end. That's what he says in this song. And he says, this is my grown-up Christmas list. Well, he's a good singer, but he's a sorry theologian, because he never gives the answer. He just says, this is my grown-up Christmas list that lives would not be torn apart. The truth is, church family, you and I can give the answer. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ coming into life, coming into your life, and changing your life forever. So in this passage, here's what I want to say about this song. Here's the first thing. Number one, you can know him. In verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. I want you to think about shepherds. You say, I don't know if I could know him. I'm not good enough to know him. You know what? You're not. And I'm not either. Isn't that freeing? To know that Jesus loves me just the way I am. You're not good enough to know him, but you can know him. You can know him. They said he came to the shepherds. The shepherds were considered unclean. The shepherds were considered untrustworthy. They were ceremonially unclean. They had terrible reputations. They were just one notch above the lepers of that society. But you know, when Jesus came, he came to the outcasts. Who were the ones that came to the manger? They were the shepherds. And so in some ways, that's God's way of saying to us, no matter what your background, no matter what baggage you have, you can come to Jesus. He came here for you. The shepherds have always been significant in Scripture. David was a shepherd, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said he was the good shepherd. We are likened unto sheep. We need a shepherd, okay? And the shepherds symbolize the ordinary. You say, I'm just an ordinary person. You're a great candidate for the peace of God. You say, I'm an ordinary person. You're a great candidate. You know, I think back... And I can't help but think back to when I was just a kid, my mom and I living in an apartment in Jacksonville across from our school where I went to school. And it was me and her, and we had other family that, of course, loved us. And my dad was up in North Carolina at that time. But we just kind of had an ordinary situation. And then Jesus got involved in our lives. And Jesus changed us. And Jesus said that even a little old red-headed kid could know him. And so no matter what your background, you can know him. The Bible says when these angels came, they were afraid. The old King James, I love that, the way it puts it in the old King James, says they were what afraid? Sore afraid. Man, I used to hear that and say, what does that mean, sore afraid? It means greatly afraid, okay? It means they were really, really afraid. But anyone can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what we see in this story and we see in this song. You can know him. Here's the second thing quickly. You should know him. You should. You are challenged to give your life to the Lord because he says in verse 10, the angel said to these shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings, that is a word that means good news, all right? It's the same where we get the word evangelism. I bring you good tidings. The reason Jesus came, the angels are going to sing about it, it's because they're singing and saying, you should know God. You should know, put your faith and trust in him. I bring you good tidings. It means to preach the good news. The noun is the word for the gospel. It's the same word used in chapter 1, verse 19. Go back a page. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. I'm bringing you good news. So the Lord's desire is that the good news come to you. All right? He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The word great means mega. It means large. I mean, huge joy. And the word joy is a derivative of the same word for grace. I'm bringing you great grace. If there was ever anything that was communicated at Christmas, it was the fact that Jesus was delivering good tidings of great grace. And it's the idea to be highly favored or to be well, or to be whole. It's the idea, that idea of peace is wrapped up in that as well. And so, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and then it shall be to all people. That's to all people. Primarily in this text, it was written for the Jews that would receive this message, but also it has with it the idea that it goes to the ends of the earth, that it shall be to all people, all nationalities. The gospel is for all people. So here's what we learn in this song. You can know him. You say, I'm not good enough. Oh, that's right. You're not. You're not. But because of the great grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you can know him. You really can. Jesus can change you. Jesus can change you. Most men believe in what they call rehabilitation. That means you do something from the outside to change someone from the outside. We do it through education. Sometimes we do it in the prison system. We want to rehabilitate someone who is a criminal. Well, Christianity is not rehabilitation. Christianity is transformation from the inside out. And that's exactly what happens. So you can know him. Jesus can save you. Number two, you should know him. The angels are announcing, I'm bringing you good tidings. I'm bringing you the evangelistic message that you should give your lives to Christ and follow him and be favored, and you will have great joy. You'll have great joy, and it's for all people. Then here's the last thing. You must share him. The message of this song is you can know him, you should know him, number two. And number three, you must share him. In verse 17, what did they say? And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. Verse 18 says, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them." In verse 17, they made it widely known. In verse 18, all those who heard it, they marveled. In Buble's song, My Grown-Up Christmas List, he has a little bridge in that song, and he says, "What is this illusion called the innocence of youth? Maybe only in that blind belief can we ever find the truth." Acting as if he is in blind wishing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's not blind faith. It's faith based upon the evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And so, no more lives torn apart. That wars would never start. And time would heal our hearts. Every man would have a friend. That right would always win and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. And then he ends it by saying, "This is my only lifelong wish." This is my grown-up Christmas list. As if in singing, he's saying, man, I'm longing for the answer. Jesus is so special because he's the only one who really knows our deepest needs, and he can meet them. I don't know if our musicians, Robert and Michael and Kelly and the others, I've not seen this, but I'm told that there's something called sympathetic resonance with notes. Here's the idea. You take two pianos, maybe two grand pianos. You ever looked inside a grand piano? It's got those long strings, and the longer the string, the deeper the sound, and they hit that bong. And if two pianos are perfectly tuned to one another, there's something called sympathetic resonance. And what can happen is you can hit the note on one of those pianos, dong. And the other string that corresponds with that will begin to vibrate. Ding. Hey, that's pretty good. I didn't even practice that. It's called sympathetic resonance. You know, the book of Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." You know what I'm learning in my own life, and I'm learning as a pastor, that sometimes Christmas can be a difficult time. Perhaps you're reminded of a loved one that you've lost. You're reminded of difficulty that you experienced years ago, and the holidays remind you of that hurt. You're reminded of what you've missed out on. You see the hurt of others, and it discourages you. Maybe you're suffering today because of bad decisions that you have made. Fear not. When you sound your cord, you can hear another coming from the Savior. He has experienced, and he has experienced what you have experienced, and he can truly sympathize with you. Now, he didn't deserve any of it, but he took it on himself anyway, on your behalf. Elizabeth's song was a song about the joy of Christmas. Mary's song was a song about the love of Christmas. Zacharias' song was about the hope of Christmas. And now the angels are singing about the peace that can come because of Christmas. So all of us, maybe there's a different note we sound because of things we've experienced in our life, what we're what we are going through, difficulty. Let's all be honest. There are difficult things we face. But you sound that note, and there's a spiritual sympathetic resonance that you only have in Jesus Christ. The world out there, you sound that note, and the world's just empty. No sound. Nothing coming back at you. But in your life right now, you sound that note. Shh, shh. Ding. The peace of Christmas is the only peace you'll ever find that can do that. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.